Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. In a word, what's worth fighting for? And I think yesterday's celebration really gives us the clue. It's freedom.
Freedom.
That's what's worth fighting for, and that's what the subject is for this month on Basic Gospel. We're going to explore our freedom in Christ from every single angle that we can possibly imagine. And we're going to start today with the word redemption, because that really leads to our freedom in Christ. But this month on Basic Gospel, it's all about freedom. It's about our freedom in Christ and how that plays out in the world today. Certainly, freedom is an important word here in America. Some people that I run across in day-to-day conversation, it's like freedom was an American concept or something. But freedom is a God concept. It transcends all of humanity. It comes from God. And so if we're really going to know what freedom is all about, we really have to go back to the Word of God, back to Jesus Christ, back to God the Father himself to see what freedom is all about. And then we can learn more about the various freedoms that we have in this world, our freedom here in America, and all the other freedoms that, are derived from this freedom that we have in Christ. But it starts with the word redemption. And here's a wonderful passage out of the book of Hebrews. It says this: he did not enter, and he's talking about Jesus, by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So the writer of Hebrews is talking about Jesus. He's comparing Jesus to everything in the Mosaic covenant, the sacrificial system, the priesthood. And so the high priest in the old covenant would take the blood of bulls and goats into the holy place, the most holy place in the temple there in Jerusalem. Well, unlike that, Jesus entered into the real tabernacle, into heaven itself, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And in doing so, he obtained eternal redemption. So what Jesus is all about isn't a temporary reprieve. It's not, I'm going to set you free for a little bit, and then if you mind your P's and Q's, you can continue in this freedom. No, he purchased our eternal freedom, our eternal redemption.
Yes.
And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to be redeemed? What is redemption? Well, it's a very exciting word when you look at it in the original Greek. It's the act of freeing or releasing. It could be defined as deliverance. So in obtaining eternal redemption, we were eternally delivered from sin and death.
Yes.
That's what we were in bondage to. Those were our enemies. Those were our oppressors. Those are the ones that held the keys to the chains that were keeping us bound up. But Jesus, through that eternal blood, unlocked those chains and set us free from sin and death. That's what our redemption is all about. So it's the ransom paid by Christ for the delivering of men from the bondage of sin and death. The root word means to loose, to set free. So it's a ransom price paid for redeeming captives, loosing them from their bonds and setting them at liberty. That's what redemption is all about. If you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You have been set free once and for all. And Jesus wants you to enjoy that freedom, to embrace that freedom. He doesn't want you to go back to bondage in any way, shape, or form. He wants you to experience this freedom from the moment that you've been set free all the way through eternity. Yeah. That's what this is all about. That's why this is such good news. And that's why this is the very thing that is worth fighting for,
absolutely,
our freedom in Christ. Well, let's talk about it more on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. If you have a story about your personal freedom in Christ, what you were set free from through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to hear about that on today's program. Again, 844-322-2742. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher, and we would love to hear from you as well. In the meantime, let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing? First of all, I want to thank you and others in the ministry and in the body of Christ for prayers about my surgery, which is over, and I'm been freed from a lot of that pain.
Excellent. Good for you, Brad.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've been thinking about this subject. I didn't know what this month's subject was, and I really didn't know how I was going to frame my question, even if I had one. But since you said what are some of the things that we've experienced, I was thinking about slaves, regardless of where they are in this country, where they were in this country or other places. So many times when those slaves got freed, and I know it happened in this country, even though they were freed, they didn't leave their environment. They didn't leave that slavery because, number one, they didn't really know what to expect outside of it, but they had become dependent upon their master and his system. And like so many Christians, they've, in the body of Christ, they listen to, there's two things that they keep being told that they have, and that is, number one, that they have an evil heart, and number two, they have a desire to sin, which we know is totally lies. But what that does is that puts them, even though Jesus died for freedom, people who believe that or believe lies or go back under the law, like you said, they don't have that freedom that Jesus died for. And I'm totally 100% grateful that I experience his freedom every single day. And I appreciate this ministry for putting forth the truth that people can depend on, the truth and the reality of God, which you guys talk about every single day. And I love you for it. And I pray that other people come to understand what freedom in Christ is. And thank you for being there.
Well, thank you, Brad.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
So glad your surgery went well and certainly appreciate your comments today. You know, we are set free from the law of sin and death. But, you know, we have a wonderful example in the book of Exodus. You know, the Israelites were set free from Egyptian bondage. They had been enslaved to the Egyptians for 400 years. And so all they knew were the ways of the Egyptians. And then this miracle happens. God parts the Red Sea. They cross through onto dry land. And the minute they got onto dry land, and even after going to Mount Sinai and getting the Mosaic Covenant and God showing up, you know, his
yes.
presence was among them, and he was going to lead them all the way into the Promised Land. They weren't going to go without his presence guiding them every single step of the way. Yet even with that, they kept looking back to Egypt. Why? Because that's all they knew. That was their way of life. And so it takes a lot of time for this freedom to really carve out new thought patterns. And it all comes as we learn to trust in the love of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You have a wonderful series on faith and freedom. It's first faith, then freedom, I think is the title of it. And I think that's an important thing for us to realize, that our freedom is something that Christ has secured for us through his death on the cross. He has set us free. Sin and death have no power over us anymore. We're not under the judgment, under the condemnation of the law of sin and death. We've been set free from that. And yet our minds it takes a lot of effort as far as the truth is concerned, getting these minds to catch up with the reality of what's happened with us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the process. That's the growth in grace. That's the growth in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. And as we grow in him, this freedom begins to expand and fill, you know, every aspect of who we are in Christ. And that's exciting. So you've been set free. That is a truth. That is a reality. If you are in Christ, you are free. You are not controlled by sin any longer. That relationship has been severed. Death is no longer your enemy. You have been released from that power. Your body may die, but you're going to live forever. You have eternal life. That's the redemption. That's the deliverance. That's the freedom that you have in Christ. And that's why we want to explore this subject so deeply this month, so our minds can really align with that truth and we can walk in confidence that we are free in spite of the accusations of our enemy, in spite of the world that we live in spite of religious things out there that are trying to rob us of our freedom. That's why we're going to explore it in the depths that we are so that we can really enjoy this freedom and live as free men in Christ Jesus.
Indeed.
Well, let's go to Ringo, Georgia, and talk with Calvin. Hi, Calvin. Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
I'm not calling to argue. I'm just calling because I do not understand. How can someone be saved and they feel like they're in their heart that they are saved? But on several occasions, they have been real close to the Lord doing the deeds that the Lord wants you to do. But in the same time, they keep backsliding and keep going back to their old ways. And it gets to the point to a certain part of your life where you just don't care. I mean, it ain't that you don't care. You know who is real, whatever, but you don't read your Bible. You don't pray like you should. And it's just like you're just living in the world. And it's just where you're sinning. You're saying things you don't need to be saying, but you're doing them anyway. And it's like, oh, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't get that.
Yeah, Calvin, I know exactly what you mean. Do you know people like that, friends or people at your church or something? It's just kind of a real life situation for you?
Yeah, this is a life situation for me.
Okay. So it's you. You're struggling. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Calvin, I went through the same thing, and I know Richard did as well. And the reason we go through that is because we're not sure how the Christian life is really supposed to work. So for me, I came to Christ at a youth camp, and I knew I needed Jesus. I was so aware of that thought captured my entire attention. And that was unusual for me, that any one thought could capture my attention for more than a second. I mean, I was just all over the place. But at that moment, there was nothing but Christ, and I knew my need, and my awareness of that need was so strong, so clear. I prayed to receive Christ, and I knew something had happened. But from that point forward, I really didn't know what all that meant. I didn't know how I was supposed to live. I didn't know what it meant to walk by faith in Jesus. So I tried to figure out the Christian life on my own. So I applied a lot of human effort. Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do all of these sort of things. But I wasn't really walking by faith. I was living by human effort. So I wasn't doing the Christian life right. And so human effort is not strong enough to overcome the temptations of the world. So I kept giving in to the temptations of the world. I didn't want to give in to them. So I was doing exactly what Paul said in Romans 7, the things I wanted to do, I wasn't doing, and the things that I didn't want to do, I was doing anyway. And that was my experience. But I kept doubling down on my effort, saying, Lord, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to try harder. Funny thing, Calvin, that phrase try harder is not in the Bible. can't find it anywhere. But that's how I was trying to live the Christian life. And finally, I got to a point, I got so frustrated that I just threw up my hands in despair and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't live the Christian life. I've given it my best, but my best wasn't good enough. And it was like the Lord said, that's what I've been waiting for. Now let me teach you the way of grace. You've been walking down the path of human effort. Now I want to teach you the way of grace. And when that started happening, everything started to change for me, Calvin. And I know there were several questions that just plagued me. You know, how can I be so sincere yet still struggle with sin? You know, how can I, you know, be so committed to wanting to live the Christian life but feel powerless to do so? Those were the questions that really nagged at my heart, and they finally got answered when I learned that it was all about Christ living his life through me, that I could actually trust him to produce fruit, the fruit of his Spirit in and through me, and that could become my reality. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, those sort of things. So for me, it was all a matter of learning how the Christian life was really supposed to work. And when I figured that it was by grace through faith in Jesus and it had nothing to do with human effort, that's when all the pieces were put together for me.
That's what's giving me a hard time. My brother, I think he was saved. I think it was 18 years ago. That guy, he don't miss church. You know, I mean, he ain't got a smile on his face every time you see him. He struggles just like we all do. But he's got that fire in him that, you know, he just keeps on keeping on. And I've got that in me where it's just, here we go again. If I am so saved, Kevin, if you're so saved, why are you so giving in to sin? And why do you keep choosing sin over the things you need to be doing? And I know it ain't what I do, it's what I believe, but still, why is it so hard for me to do it, but others, they can turn their back and go on and keep going toward him. And with me, I just keep going over and over and over and over in life. It's like I'm not accomplishing nothing. It's just like I'm here and it keeps going to my mind. I mean, what's the purpose of you being here, Kevin? Because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. How are you going to witness to
Calvin,
others living what you live?
Yeah, Calvin, there's two issues. First of all, everybody else that you look at is struggling just like you are. They're just faking it better, okay? People struggle. It's the nature of us as humans. The second thing is you fall and prey to the argument that says, and you only say this to yourself, Calvin, you should be better than this. And as soon as you think everybody else has it made and that you're the one who's failing and you should be doing better, Satan's got you right where he wants you because he just beats you silly with thoughts of, I'll never measure up, why am I doing this, why can't I improve? And he's got all of the focus back on you because he's gotten your eyes off of Jesus. Jesus is the one. The passage we read at the beginning, he gave you eternal redemption. So you get to start from a position of absolute victory. It's not that you're striving for victory, you're moving forward from victory, his victory.
Yeah. Let me read a couple of passages to you, Calvin, and see what you think of these. First one is Hebrews 10:10, and it says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So if you're in Christ, Calvin, this passage says that you have been made holy because of the shed blood of Jesus. So is that worth saying, Lord Jesus, thank you? Thank you for making me holy in spite of my unholy actions and some of my unholy thoughts. Those actions and those thoughts don't change what Christ has made you. So he has made you holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So whose work made you holy?
Jesus Christ did.
Yes. So,
and that's what I keep struggling with, Bob. And my thing is, what keeps, and I know it's Satan, and I know it's him, but he knows my weaknesses, just like God does. I keep questioning, are you truly saved? Are you truly saved? Are you truly saved? Because if you were saved, then why do you live like you do? And if you're not saved, you die and go to hell. I mean, you die, you're going to hell. You know this. So why am I really truly saved? Then if I'm not truly saved, then I don't know how to truly be saved, because I know that Sunday when I surrendered my life to him, I mean, I felt like an angel flying in the wind. There was nothing to bother me. There was nothing holding me down. And then it just like, I guess that's the way Satan's way of working on me.
Well, Calvin, here's the reality. So, you know, you're saved. You respond to the message of Christ. And then you start to struggle with some old thought patterns and maybe some old sinful habits. And you give in to them, and immediately you start looking at yourself, and you start wondering,
correct,
well, did I, you know, was I sincere enough? And it becomes all about you. Well, Calvin, you have to switch and say, no, it's still all about Jesus. It's all about what he's accomplished for me through his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's all about his life being lived out through me. So whenever you have those doubts, if you say, hey, I get it. I understand why I'm having these doubts is because I'm focusing on me. I'm making judgments and assessments about my salvation based on what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, and what I'm doing. Well, those are always going to be flawed, right?
Right.
So the only perfect work was Jesus' work, and his work saved you completely. So when those doubts come, I think you can just say, Satan, thanks for the reminder to get my eyes on Jesus and to say thank you to him again for what he accomplished for me through his death, burial, and resurrection. That will help drive the stake for you.
Very good point.
See what I'm saying?
Very good point.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then the idea is, I know for me, I would wake up and say, I'm not going to do this sin today, okay? And so Satan would say, well, what sin? And so I would start describing it and thinking about it. And then, you know, by 12 o'clock, I'd be right back in that same old sin thing again and feeling bad and guilty and just, you know, that vicious cycle. And what eventually got me out of that vicious cycle was learning a different prayer. Lord, it's not, I don't want to do this sin today. It was, Lord, I want you to teach me how to trust you today and how to walk by faith in your resurrected life. See, that's what salvation is, Christ coming to live in you. So, Calvin, Jesus Christ is alive, living in you. And all he wants of you is to trust him, to abide in him. And as you do, you're going to see the fruit of his life being lived out through you. And that's when you can start really saying, Lord Jesus, thank you. You are truly amazing that you can produce love and joy and peace through me, and that I can benefit from that. I can enjoy that. I can actually live that. That can be my reality. So it's all about keeping those eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So, Calvin, we're almost out of time. I'm going to put you on hold. I want to send you two products. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I think that will be a big help. I think you will identify with my story in that. And then we have a CD called Drive the Stake. We're going to put those resources into your hands. And then once you read through and listen through, will you call us back?
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay. You hang on, Calvin. We'll get that information to you as quickly as we can. And we sure appreciate your call, Calvin, and realize you're not alone in this journey. We all are going that same path. We're struggling. And that's why we need the truth. That's why we need to grow in grace and our knowledge of Christ. So you hang on, we'll get that information to you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks to Richard Pfeiffer, to Greg Park, to Coleman, to Stephen, the entire Basic Gospel team. We thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. We'll be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.